I've got some good news for you today. How many can stand some good news? Some good news? And here's the message. It's called, What Mirror Are You Looking Through? What mirror are you looking through? How many today at some point looked into a physical mirror? Maybe this morning, getting ready for the day. All of us, right? And what did you see when you looked into that mirror? You saw you, your physical self, most likely the reflection of your face. And everybody's got a different face, right? Some have hair, some don't. Some have got blue eyes, some have got black eyes, some have got brown eyes. Some have got bigger noses, some have got smaller noses. Everybody is different and unique in their physical reflection from a mirror, right? All right, I've got a mirror here with me today. And it's about 4 inches in diameter. It's two-sided. It's on a stand. And as I look in this side of the mirror, I look at my face, and it's a distorted reflection. It makes my face about 4 inches wider than what it really is. My eyes are wider, my nose is bigger, my mouth is wider, about 4 inches. Kind of look like the Pillsbury Doughboy a little bit. I mean, you should see this. It distorts what my face really looks like. And I say that to say this today. What mirror are you looking through in life? What mirror are you looking through in life? You know, ministering here in downtown Tulsa, on the streets, at the shelters, in different areas, a lot of people are looking through the mirror of a negative past. The mirror of a negative past. You know, mess-ups, sins of the past, things that you shouldn't have said or shouldn't have done or, you know, shouldn't have thought. And so many people are kind of in bondage to their negative past. And when you look through that mirror, you see a distorted reality. You see a distorted image of who you really are in Christ. Let's not look through that mirror. And a lot of people are living with regret today. With I would've's, I could've's, I should've's. You know what? Man, that opportunity came across my path so many months ago or so many years ago, and I just didn't take it. I wish I would've. You know, such and such happened, and I should've said such a thing, but I didn't. Or I could've done this. And friends, away with that type of thinking. I would've, I could've, I should've. You know, when you're looking through the mirror of a negative past, it distorts, it hurts your self-image. But you can look through a different mirror. We're going to talk about that a little later on today. Friend, if you're driving an automobile, how many here have driven a car before? All of us, right? Just about. If you're driving an automobile and you're trying to go forward, but you're looking backward, right? Trying to go forward, but you're looking backward, guess what? You ain't going to go forward successfully, right? You may hurt yourself, you may hurt somebody else, and you may mess up the vehicle. Making sense? It's the same way with your life. If you're trying to go forward with your life, and God wants you to go forward, God wants you to be an overcomer in your life. If you're trying to go forward with your life, but you keep looking backward to your negative past, guess what? You ain't going to go forward ahead successfully. God is wanting to bring you to a better mode of transportation. He's wanting to bring you to a better place to live. He's wanting to give you joy in place of depression. He's wanting to mend the broken relationships in your life. He's wanting you to climb out of the valley that you may be stuck in today. He's wanting you to go higher. He's wanting you to go forward. But if you keep looking backward at your past, it ain't going to happen. You're going to be stuck right where you're at. If anybody had reason to look backward on their negative past, it was a man named Paul the Apostle. His name was Saul before he was miraculously converted. And this is what he writes in Philippians chapter 3. Now remember this about Saul. He was a Pharisee. Okay? He was a man of the law, the Old Testament law. Kept it line upon line. He was a persecutor of Christians. And in Acts chapter 9, the beginning verses, you can read that he was breathing out murderous threats against the Christians. Could you believe that? Trying to harm God's followers, the Christ followers. So if anybody had reason to look backward, who was it?
Paul.
It was Paul, right? But look at what he writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. That's a word for us today, friends. Forgetting what is behind. Stop looking through the mirror of your negative past and start looking forward to the good things God has got for you according to His Word. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And who is it that brings up your past? A lot of times. It's the devil, right? The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. He tries to whisper into your spiritual ear. Remember what you did in the past? But he's a liar, the Bible says. Jesus said in John 8 that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. And when he tries to speak your past into your mind, you rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Amen. You tell him, according to the Word of God in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to me who am in Christ Jesus. I walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And sometimes it's your own mind that thinks back to the past and whispers to you. But when it does that, rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen? Let's talk about the blood of Jesus Christ for the next few minutes. From the very beginning of time, you can read it in Leviticus 17:11. It says that without the shedding of blood, there was no covering over of sin, no atonement for sin. Hebrews 9:22 is repeated. That without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Now, in the Old Testament, just a brief historical overview. In the Old Testament priest would kill an animal, and the blood of the animal would be shed for the people's sins. It was for a specific group of people only and a specific time. But what that blood of animals did was it just covered over sin for a short time. It was imperfect blood. It was like whiteouts. You know what whiteout is, right? You write a word down in ink and you want to get rid of it and you just cover it over with whiteout, right? If you really try hard, you can kind of scratch that whiteout off if you could, right? And you can see that word again, right? But that's what the blood of animals was like. It was like whiteout. But 2,000 years ago, God sent the perfect Lamb of God who shed His spotless blood, His perfect blood, and that was the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the blood of Jesus Christ is like the eraser on a pencil. You write some words down, right? You want to get rid of a word? What do you do with the pencil? You turn it around and you erase it with the eraser. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ is like. It erases and washes away our sins. Amen?
Amen.
It's perfect blood. And so I plead the blood of Jesus over your lives today. Don't listen to the enemy. When the enemy tries to bring up what you did in the past, say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. By the blood of Jesus, my past has been forgiven and forgotten by God.
Amen?
Amen? So I want to talk about a much better mirror that you could look through today. I've got the same mirror here. When I flip it around, I see a true reflection of my face, as it really is. It's just right. So today I want to talk about this much better mirror that you can be looking through. It's called the mirror of how God sees you according to His written word. The mirror of how God sees you according to His written word. You know, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, all of the sins that you committed up until that point were forgiven and forgotten by God. They were washed away by the blood of Jesus. All right? So when the enemy tries to remind you of the past, again, as I said, you rebuke him. Now, I got a little story here. Some of you may have heard it. It's called The Devil and the Duck. There was a little boy visiting his grandparents on their farm. He was given a slingshot to play with out in the woods. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit the target. Getting a little discouraged, he headed back for dinner. As he was walking back, he saw Grandma's pet duck. Just out of impulse, he let the slingshot fly, hit the duck square in the head, and killed it. He was shocked and grieved. In a panic, he hit the dead duck. He hid the dead duck in the woodpile only to see his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. After lunch the next day, Grandma said, Sally, let's wash the dishes. But Sally said, Grandma, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen. And she whispered to him, remember the duck? So Johnny did the dishes. Later that day, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing, and Grandma said, I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make dinner. Sally just smiled and said, well, that's all right, because Johnny told me he wanted to help. She whispered again, remember the duck? So Sally went fishing and Johnny stayed to help. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, he finally couldn't stand it any longer. He came to Grandma and confessed he had killed the duck. Grandma knelt down, gave him a hug, and said, "Sweetheart, I know. You see, I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing, but because I love you, I forgave you. I was just wondering how long you would let Sally make a slave of you." Thought for the day and every day thereafter, whatever is in your past, whatever you have done, and the devil keeps throwing it up in your face, lying, debt, fear, hatred, anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, whatever it is, you need to know that God was standing at the window and he saw the whole thing. He has seen your whole life. He wants you to know that he loves you and that you are forgiven. Say it with me today. I am forgiven by my faith in Christ and by the blood of Jesus over my life. He's just wondering how long you will let the devil make a slave of you. Let's talk about what God's word says about your faith in Christ. Let's turn to Romans 3. Romans chapter 3. Seeing yourself through the mirror of how God sees you according to his word. Let's see what his word says. Romans 3:21 through 22. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So he's talking here about a gift of righteousness. Let's say it together. A gift of righteousness. Turn to Romans 5 verse 1, two chapters over. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. One more, Romans 5:17. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Friends, it's a gift of righteousness, and that's what it is. You can't earn it by do's and don'ts. And some people think, you know what, I'll be made righteous before God if I do such and such. You know, if I go to so many services a week or read so many Christian books, if I don't harm anybody or I don't talk down on anybody, you know, I do this and I don't do that, and if I do that, I'll be in right standing before God. Friends, you can't earn it. It's a gift. It's given to you freely by God, by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not earned by a list of do's and don'ts. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you instantly received right standing with God. When you said, "Jesus, be my Savior. Jesus, I put my life into your hands," you instantly received right standing, right relatedness to God. And maybe some of you here today have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And in just a few minutes, you'll have the opportunity to do so. When you received Jesus Christ as Savior, you were made righteous. Another way of saying this is you were justified. Let's say it. I was justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, when you think of the word justified, friend, think of this. Just as if I had never sinned. Justified. I'm justified by faith in Christ. Just as if I had never sinned. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? Paul writes again. Therefore, if anybody is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a brand new slate in the eyes of God. All of your sins were forgiven and forgotten by Almighty God. Now, I've used this illustration before, but it works. Kevin, would you come up? How many have been to an Easter drama at a church at some point? All right, so the drama's going on and, you know, you see the people in Israel doing their thing, and all at once, Kevin is playing the part of Jesus, okay? Imagine him with longer hair and a longer beard, all right? So he's playing the part of Jesus. And he comes out on stage as Jesus. And when Kevin comes out on stage, you're not thinking about Kevin, right? Who are you thinking about? You're thinking about Jesus. When you look at Kevin, you're not really looking at Kevin. You're not thinking about Kevin. You're looking at Jesus in that drama. Amen? I'm here to tell you today that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, when God looks at you, He doesn't see you according to your sinful past. When He looks at you, He sees Jesus. He sees Jesus. So here's the point. When you look through this mirror, the mirror of how God sees you, you've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you, according to His Word. Justified. Just as if I had never sinned. Now the Bible says this in Proverbs 23:7, that as a man thinks within himself, so is he. Friend, the way you think about yourself will be the way you act toward yourself. And maybe some of you here today are seeing yourself as so low that you can do a push-up under a penny. Thinking to yourself, oh my goodness, you don't know what I've done in the past, Jonathan. I'll always be in this place. No, start seeing yourself as God sees you, as justified, just as if I had never stolen, just as if I had never shoplifted, just as if I had never been addicted, in Jesus' name, because that's the way God sees you. You know, after accepting Jesus Christ as Savior, you may mess up, you may slip, you may get weak. How many of us have slipped, messed up, maybe in the past week? And when you slip and you mess up, just confess that sin to God. The Word of God says in 1 John 1:9 that He is faithful and just, and He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. As a man thinks within himself, so is he. If you see yourself as always low, never able to go anywhere in life because of negative words people spoke over you, because of negative things that you've done in life, guess what? You'll be stuck in the same place year after year. But how many here want to go to higher places, to the higher places that God has for them? Then you've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you. When God looks at you, He sees Jesus. When God looks at you, He sees you justified. Maybe it's a job that you want. For instance, at some store, maybe Walmart, and you might be thinking to yourself, and that voice speaks to you, but how could you get a job at Walmart? Remember what you did in the past, you shoplifted. You got to say, I rebuke you, voice, in the name of Jesus. When God looks at me, He sees me justified, just as if I had never shoplifted, and that's the way I am going to see myself. I'm going forward in this area of my life. You know, maybe some of you want a spouse, a long-term relationship, and maybe some of you are thinking, well, you know what, how can I get one? That voice speaks to you. Remember how you mistreated that lady in the past, abused her. You say, no, voice, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to start seeing myself as God sees me, as justified, just as if I had never mistreated that person. I'm going forward in this area of my life. Amen?
Amen.
Say, I am justified.
I am justified.
Just as if I
had never sinned
by my faith in
Jesus Christ.
And my confession of my sin,
to God
when I mess up.
Mess up.
You know, you might want to teach God's Word. You might want to be in the ministry when that voice speaks to you. Remember how you down-talked God's Word in the past? You rebuke it in the name of Jesus and say, you know what? God sees me as justified, just as if I had never talked down on His Word. That's the way I see myself. As God sees me, I am going forward in this area of my life in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen?
Said it before, and I'll say it again. If you know the answer, don't say it. But where is the wealthiest place in this world?
Heaven.
Okay, that's a good one. Anybody else? There is a right answer. If you know it, you've heard me say it before, don't say it. Huh?
In your own heart.
Okay, in your own heart. Somebody else? Where is the wealthiest place in the world? Okay, that's a good answer. Anybody else?
Paris,
all right. Anybody else?
Heaven.
Heaven, okay.
Worldly wealth?
I'm just a broad question. Where's the wealthiest place in the world? Here it is.
We're not.
That's good. The wealthiest place in the world is the graveyard. You're thinking to yourself today, Jonathan, the graveyard? What are you talking about? Friends, there is a wealth of untapped potential in the graveyard. People who should have written books that never did. People that should have started their own homeless shelters but were always stuck in a homeless shelter. People that should have been nurses and doctors for the kingdom of God, that should have started Christian colleges in other countries but never did. that should have started businesses that would have helped finance the kingdom of God but never did. There is a wealth of untapped potential in the graveyard. And could it be that those people never tapped their potential because they did not see themselves as God saw them according to His Word? Friends, stop looking through the mirror of your negative past. Start looking through the mirror of how God sees you according to this written Word, that you were made righteous by faith in Christ. You were justified. Not only do you look through that mirror, but then start seeing yourself exactly the way God sees you. Start speaking it over yourself. When you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, say it to yourself a number of times. I am justified. I am justified. Just as if I had never sinned. And when you speak to yourself on a continual basis, guess what? You'll start believing about yourself. You'll start going forward with the greater thing that God has for you. Stop looking backward, friend. You cannot drive that car called your life if you're looking backward. Amen? And Brother Kevin here has got probably a personal testimony, I think.
Sure.
Of how he started seeing himself the way God saw him, perhaps. Amen. Got something, Kevin?
When I first got married, this is my wife, Nancy, right here. It's going to be very brief.
Sure.
Before I met my wife, I had a child out of wedlock, okay? And circumstances, I was no longer able to communicate with that child, okay, or my son, all right? And I got married, and the weight of not being able to forgive myself for the past was crushing me. You see, unforgiveness will crush you. And what Satan does, he comes in and he takes the weight of unforgiveness and he will crush you with it. Okay? And he was using this, how can you be a minister of God or how can you be a believer and have this in your past? You see? I say, I had problems forgiving myself. Mm-hmm. And if you cannot forgive yourself, then you will always be crushed by your past.
That's good.
Okay? So I came to that reality through Christ Jesus. I received righteousness, forgiveness. Learn to forgive yourself and set yourself free.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That's a good word. He started seeing himself as God saw him, as justified, as forgiven. Friends, you can do the same. If Kevin can do it, you can do it. And maybe there's some of you out here too, maybe that want children. But maybe you did something in the past that was wrong and you're thinking to yourself, that voice speaks to you. You can never do it because you did what was wrong. You know, maybe it's an abortion. And you see yourself as God sees you, as justified, just as if I had never committed that sin. Because that's the way God sees you. He sees you as a clean slate in Jesus' name. Amen?